And that's really sometimes quite difficult to comprehend, isn't it? But he knows every single person here, and he has plans for you. So that he even planned it that today on the 11th of December 2016, you would be seated in the seat that you're in, hearing me tell you that God has plans for you. He planned that. God has plans for you. Let me read to you what it says in Psalms. It's Psalm 139. You don't need to turn to it. Let me just read this to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist suddenly understands, he grasped that God is the creator, that God made him. God created you. He knit us together. He formed us while we were still in our mother's womb. It's just incredible. It's a miracle. Like, the human life is just miraculous. Sometimes we sort of take it for granted, don't we? But listen, you need to understand, it's remarkable. I used to make things when I was at school, and one of the things I remember was a little sort of wooden shark. And it sort of, you know, when you go into woodwork over a period of weeks and you sort of take it a little step further, and I made this thing, and it was sort of like a shark and varnished and on a stand, and I presented it to, I was really chuffed with myself. I presented it to my mum. I was a little kid, but she loved it. I created something. And I had the privilege of working in London for many years, and I would like walk around London seeing like the most amazing buildings, and you know, you've got like the modern skyscrapers, and you've got things like St Paul's Cathedral. And sometimes at lunch I used to sit outside St Paul's Cathedral, and you just used to marvel at it. Just like incredible architecture, just these amazing buildings. But when you think about the creation, when you think about the human body, it's difficult not to see that we're a complete and absolute miracle. Even the world we live in has been created and finely balanced and tuned so that the human body can live and exist. If oxygen levels, I'm not a scientist here, but I've heard that if oxygen levels are just a little bit too much or too less, we just wouldn't be able to exist. So even the Creator has formed the world we live in so that we can survive. It's like finely balanced and finely tuned. Every breath we take, every heartbeat. I used to think as a child, you know, how do I work? I used to like sort of play with toys with batteries in, and they would move, and the battery would run out, and the car would just die. And then I used to think to myself, well, how do I work? I don't have any batteries. I don't have a cable plugging me in. How do I work? It's an absolute miracle. The human body is miraculous. And then we open the Bible, and we begin to read about what God says about the church. We begin to read about that God likens the church to a human body. And suddenly, it starts to make sense. We start to build a picture that actually, if we think about how incredible the human body is, and then we look at the church, do we view the church in the same way? Because God does. God does. It's a miracle. It's incredible. His church is incredible. It's special. He says, you know, understand how incredible the human body is, but understand that his church is as special. It's incredibly precious. So if we, you know, take care of looking after our bodies, okay, if we do that, then actually we should have the same view as the church. We should have the same view. So let's read about this. If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read from verse 12 to 26. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 26. And if you're reading from the church Bibles, it's page 1153. Let's just read what... This is Paul. So Paul was this guy who wrote a letter to a church in Corinth. And, you know, they had a few problems. So he wrote them a letter to try and help them and explain what church is all about. So let's read this together. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The title is Unity and Diversity in the Body. So he's talking about the church. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. So he's saying anyone here is part of it. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, this is where he becomes a bit of a comedian. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye... That reminds me of Monsters, Inc. Remember, what was it? Who was the little one? That's it. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. You know, we can get a bit frustrated about... our position in the church or what we do or how we serve. Listen, God has placed you just where he wants you to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together. Do you hear that? God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Every part rejoices with it. This is describing the church. He's describing the church here. And Paul, this guy who wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, is saying the church is just like a human body. It's incredibly special. It's life-giving. Yeah, the human body is alive. The church is life-giving. How astonishing is the human body? But when we view that and when we understand that, we suddenly feel the weight of these words about the church. We suddenly feel the weight because he's likening it to a human body. We should approach the subject of church with awe and reverence. Can you begin to see how he's unpacking this here? It suddenly drives us to approach it with care, because if the church is as miraculous and staggering as the human body, it's an incredibly mind-blowing thing. It's incredibly powerful. I don't know about you, but I've always not always viewed the church in that way. As a kid, I used to go along to church. I used to view the church as a building that I used to attend once a week. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't really understand it. I found it incredibly boring. And I used to do everything within me trying to get through 40 minutes of a service. It was really painful. Like little interaction with people around me. It was just really painful. Sometimes we view church like that. Last week we had the privilege of going up to Northampton with Tom and Lindsay and just sort of going through these beautiful little villages, seeing these amazing thatched buildings, cottages, and seeing the little country pub, and you know, they're planning to have their wedding there, and we saw the church, and it was a beautiful village church. It's the perfect place for a wedding. Perfect place. But God wants us to understand that the church is different. When we read this, he says that it's way beyond impressive buildings. It's way beyond that. His church is grander and more powerful than anything, than any like impressive cathedral. It's way, way bigger than that. It's miraculous. It's life-giving. So we need to ask ourselves the questions, well, how do we view church? How do we view church? Are we excited about coming to church on a Sunday morning? Are we excited about going to a midweek church meeting or perhaps a prayer meeting? How do we think about it? How do we view it? Are we excited about that? Are we excited about meeting maybe a church friend in the coffee shop? Because that's church. That's church. And here Paul is talking about this, how precious it is and how incredible church life should be. As we read here, Paul starts to detail how we should consider what the church is. The first thing, he says that it's formed by Jesus Christ. He forms the church. You see, it's only when we begin to read this that we see the church is, it's not a building full of bodies, but a body which is in the process of building. Jesus Christ forms this church. He said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. This is a promise from him. And as Jesus builds his church, he's the savior. He's the reason. He's the head. He needs to be central to everything we do as a church. Jesus needs to be central. He needs to be honored and recognized as the head of our church. Because it's through him that we are saved. It's through him that we have a hope. It's through him that, you know, even now, where you're seated, he doesn't even see our sinful state. He sees the beauty of his Savior Son, Jesus. God doesn't see our sin. We're covered. It's like we're hidden. It's like, you know, Jesus is like over you, he's hidden you. So there could be stuff in your life that, you know, perhaps you're a bit embarrassed about, you're a bit ashamed, but do you know what? It doesn't matter, because when you connect with the Savior, he covers that. He covers you. He's hidden you. Listen to what it says here. Look, Isaiah 61. I delight greatly in the Lord. Why? My soul rejoices in my God. Why? This is the reason. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He's clothed me with garments of salvation. We can delight in him. We can rejoice. It's like an utter relief. Wow. Wow. We're free. We are. Thank you. Celine's free and I'm free. Right? We're free. Be free. He's clothed you. He's covered you. You know, just one drop of the Savior's blood. One drop. And your name is in the book of life. It's incredible. You suddenly have a hope. You've been reconnected back to God. He loves you because of his Son. It's nothing that what we've done. We can't do anything to make him love us more or less. It's brilliant. What great news, isn't it? What great news. This is the stuff that we should be sharing with our friends, our neighbours, the people on Alpha. You've heard this. This is great news. We're fully accepted by him. And you see, by using the analogy of a body here that Paul uses, he talks about a oneness. Is there any such a word? I don't know, but you know what I mean? There's a oneness. There's a unity in the body, isn't there? He's emphasizing this. Paul is saying, come on. You know, the Corinthians had a bit of an issue. Okay, he was trying to help them. He said, come on, be one, be united as this church. This is precious. Do you know what? We've read a handful of verses here, but do you know the word one appears 10 times? I counted 10 times. One body, one spirit, one part, unity, together. We can begin to see, you know, this picture of where God would want us to be as a church. He says, you know, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, it doesn't matter where you're from, how much money you have in the bank, how many letters after your name, what job you've got, what job you had, whether you've got a job. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But you're part of a body of believers. You're part of the church. He's saying everyone, this is for everyone. It does not matter. He's talking about unity. He's forming together. Jesus forms the church together. He says, come on, form together, he says. That's why the Bible contains like so many verses about unity. If your heart is not for unity, if your actions do not reflect unity, then it's essential that you start thinking and acting differently. Because you're thinking differently and you're acting differently to what God is saying in this book. Because in here, he talks about unity. In here, he talks about loving one another and caring for one another. So if your actions and your thoughts are different, then it's different to what's in this book. So that's when we need to start asking God, okay, how can I, you know, search me, oh God, the Bible says, isn't it? Search me. Is there anything in me that I need to sort out? This is what we need to start thinking. If we injure ourselves, thinking about the body again, if we injure ourselves, if I was to break my arm, okay, my whole body is affected, right? I'm in pain. I can't, you know, knowing me, I'd be mobile on the sofa and would have to get me everything I need, like tea and coffee and like food and stuff. I can't do anything. My arm's broken. It's just my arm. The rest of me is fine, but my arm's broken. Like the whole body gets affected. And we read it here, don't we? In verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Do you get it? This is the church he's talking about here. If one part suffers, every part suffers. So if you feel broken today, or you know, perhaps you feel that you know you're not firing on all four cylinders and you want prayer, I've put a prayer request card on every chair. You can put your name on it if you want and your request, or you can keep it completely anonymous. Put your prayer request on here, and at the back of the hall there's a box that says prayer requests. Prayer requests. That's where you put them. Okay, so if there is something on your heart that you're struggling with, maybe it's ill health, maybe you're concerned about something, maybe it's a relationship thing, maybe you're concerned about a job, worried about the future, maybe you want to thank God for something, why don't you write your request on this and put it in the box, and I promise you that we'll pray for you. And let's see what God does. So everyone should have one of these, and if you don't have a pen, then ask someone next to you. They're part of the body. Right, we're in this together, aren't we? And then Paul goes on to explain two things that typically happen in the church. This is really interesting. Listen to this. One, he says, people feeling like they don't belong. People feeling like they don't belong. And the second thing is, people in the church feeling that others shouldn't be there. That's what he addresses. There are two things: people feeling they don't belong and people feeling that others should not belong. He says, even though the body is one, is made up of many parts, and every single part is key. Every part is key. It's essential to function well that our whole body is working correctly. To function as he created us to function as a church, everybody needs to work correctly. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? He says, come on, understand this. Every single person is vital to church life. If you feel anything differently, you know, you must understand how important you are to the church, to the body. Actually, do you know what? You're critical to the body. You're critical to church life. If you're sitting here and you've been a Christian for many years, hear this. You are critical. You are critical to the body. You're vital for church life. Perhaps you're here as a visitor, you've been on the Alpha course and you're just sort of looking in. Let me tell you, you're critical to church life. You're important to the body of believers. Perhaps you're feeling weak and worthless. Oh, I can't really do these sort of things. Paul explains, doesn't he, about the weaker parts. What does he say? He says the weaker parts of the body are actually indispensable. They're vital. Let me explain this to you. T, Mr. T, come up here. Mr. T's my friend. Let's encourage him. Now, the reason he's Mr. T, because do you remember the 18? Yeah, he actually looks like Mr. T, doesn't he? So he's said to me his name was T, but I've called him Mr. T, because I think he looks like Mr. T. And he's fit, isn't he? Yes, he's fit. And he's muscly, isn't he? Probably works out. Do you work out?
Yeah,
he goes to the gym. Okay. So now, if you just tense your arm a minute, look at that. Show them your muscle. Yeah, look, listen, he is strong, okay? So right, his bicep's really strong, isn't it? But can you see his heart? You can't, can you? His heart's in here. His heart is hidden. His heart is protected by a six-pack. No, it is. His heart, and there are ribs coming under here to protect the strong ribs and the strong six-pack. And do you know what it does? It protects his heart. His heart's in here. You can't see his heart. You cannot see his heart. But do you know what? Let me let you into a secret. His heart's really important. It is. Jane, it is. His heart is so important. And Paul here is saying, listen, guys, come on, get it. Everyone is so important. You're so vital. You're critical to church life. You're critical to church life. And do you know what? Don't try and be someone else. You know, if Mr. T was to wake up and his heart decided to be his bicep, he's in trouble, isn't he? Thank you, Mr. T. Thank you. Let's give him a round of applause. He would be in trouble. His heart's got to be his heart, and his bicep has to be his bicep. But you can't see them all. It's like if we think about the Alpha course, okay, you've got, you know, I hosted it at the front, you know, Adam was singing, the table leaders were leading. But do you know where the heart of Alpha is? It's in the serving. The heart of Alpha is in the serving. And just like the heart, you can't actually see the servers. It's the people who get here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to prepare the food. It's the people that get here at, you know, after Alpha has finished to clear up. It's the servers where, you know, we're so interested in eating our meal, we don't even look at the servers coming to the table. The heart of Alpha is in the serving. You can't see them, but do you know what? If they weren't there, it wouldn't happen. It's vital. It's vital. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying every single body part is key. It's key for the body to function correctly. And then the flip side is when you take away a body part, there's a great loss. There's a great loss. And if a body part is restored, if you become well, suddenly there's a great celebration. There's a story in the Bible called the prodigal son, where the son goes off. Okay, when was the celebration? The celebration was when he was restored back to the father. When people are restored back into the body, suddenly there's a great celebration. Okay, if you can line up the video, David, I'm going to show you something here to explain it. So I'd like to show you a video of a selection of people who had their hearing and their eyesight restored through, you know, amazing medical advancements, okay? They were missing a key part of their body, and suddenly, through this medical advancement, they were reconnected back with that part. So let's just sort of watch what happens here. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. That was amazing, wasn't it, seeing that? Perhaps you might be hearing God speak to you for the first time about your place in his church. Perhaps you're beginning to see how important church life is in the eyes of God. Sometimes we can become, you know, complacent about our eyesight and our hearing. But it's only when we don't have it that we realise how critical it is to our lives. And so it is with the church. For those in the church, love and honour those around you. Love and honour those around you. And perhaps you're here and you've just made a commitment to Jesus, or, you know, perhaps even now God is saying to you, come on, it's time. Perhaps you feel you're just looking in. You know, just realise how important you are to the church. And do you know what? If you're not part of a church, then hopefully this has shown you how important it is to be part of it. The Bible says that God's desire is that all men everywhere are saved and come to know and understand about Jesus, the Saviour. And we can safely assume that he therefore wants us all to be part of his church. And just think, if you choose not to be a part, think how the church is missing out. Yeah, perhaps you wake up in the morning, you think, you know, I won't be missed. I don't need to go today. You know, when we watch that video, it's vital, isn't it? Isn't it that every single person is involved? Watching those people hearing and seeing for the first time was quite amazing. I kept on watching the video again and again. You know, when someone joins the body of the church, the Bible, it describes it as a great celebration. Jesus says in Luke 15, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. Over one sinner. You know, we live in a world of uncertainty, and you know, Dave has put on the front of the notice sheet this week about Bill Hybels' quote. Bill leads a church in the US, and he said this: the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. And then when we read this and we suddenly begin to understand what the local church really means, we can suddenly begin to see how we can play our part in that. Do you know what we've been thinking and talking about is short term. In God's economy, it's short term. Yeah, we're only here for a few years on this planet. It's short term. But actually, God is creating, he's gathering, he's forming his church together to be presented to Jesus as a spotless, perfect bride. That's what the Bible talks about. The long term is incredible. The long term is incredible, being in the presence of the Creator God, the one who made us. It's incredible. And do you know what? The wonderful thing is that every single person in this room can be part of it. Every single person. There's no one, you know, discounted in any way. We've read about it, haven't we? We've gone through it. We understand now what God says about his church. We know that there are going to be some biceps out there. And we know they're going to be hearts. We know that. But we also know that, you know, church brings life. You know, we can bring life to those around us. That's why, you know, Paul was talking about the church being like a body here. And I've never seen this before, but the more I thought about it, the more I just sort of focused on the body. And I was going to bring you loads of facts today about how incredible the body is. And, you know, maybe I haven't really sort of been able to communicate that well. But let me tell you that the human body is amazing. I don't even know how it works. And Paul says, it's just like my church. God says, it's just like my church. And Paul says, it's like a body. But this is what church life should be like. It brings life. Why don't we stand together? I'm going to pray and just spend a time just sort of thanking God for who he is. Thanking God for covering us. Isn't that amazing? That the Savior's covered us. We're veiled. The Bible talks about veil. Like the Savior. The perfect Savior. He was the spotless one. Let me pray. Let's just focus on him. Father, we just love you. God, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We want to just declare that to you today. Thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would open our hearts now. Just help us to sort of understand this. Seal everything that we've heard today, Lord God, in our minds. Help us to maybe sort of ask ourselves some questions. You know, what am I doing? How am I viewing things? How do I view the church? What's my place in the church? Father, stir us up, Lord God. This is your church, Jesus. This is your body of believers, Jesus. Stir us up. Help us to understand the part we're going to play in this, Lord. Part that you've got planned for us. Help us to understand that, Lord God.